State soccer begins its eight-day run downtown at the beautiful Morrison Stadium. Nick Rubeck is the guy to follow at the World Herald. Does a great job covering high school wrestling and high school soccer. Going to be weird not to see, like, Gretna dominating. You know, they broke up Gretna.
Mm-hmm.
State soccer, if you've never been there, just sit in the stands, man. It gets kind of intense depending on who is on the pitch, but it begins its eight-day run. State baseball begins end of the week. ESPN. ESPN, NFL Network, the NFL in general will,
man, things are getting big out there.
Reveal the NFL schedule coming up on Thursday.
It's a big week of sports.
9-8 forever.
Big week.
Hey, ESPN.
Does Joey have his finalized yet?
Oh, no, that's just mine, my prediction.
Okay, I thought Colbert had his 32
team. By the way, ESPN is close to peak ESPN because we could get the Knicks and the Celtics and we could get the Rangers and the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bruins won the other night in Game 7. We've had back-to-back Game 7s in the NHL last night. Dallas got rid of the defending champs in Vegas, but Boston beat Toronto in overtime. And Toronto win two games without Austin Matthews, and they have a hot goaltender. Then they play a game where their goaltending isn't that good. Most tortured fan base in North America, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's a pretty good case for it.
Yeah.
They showed, so the Bruins showed Maple Leaf Square on their video board.
Nice.
Like after the game-winning goal. And those people were in misery.
And of course, Boston would show that. Be like, hey, where's the jubilation right now?
Where's Joe Cata now, huh?
Still throw Cleveland in there, too.
You didn't think baseball did LeBron make up for Cleveland?
Well, yeah, like, I guess if you're thinking tortured fan base, if you're giving it to an entire city of, yeah, basketball obviously helped because that was also 2016.
And again, the Raptors won a championship.
Right, that was 2016, right?
Yes.
And then you had a chance to get not only basketball, but then baseball. Well, baseball would have happened before that. No, I'm sorry. That would have been in the upcoming fall. And, well, we all know how that went, you know, especially. But because it's been since 1948, since Cleveland baseball. And the reason I say tortured with the baseball part of it is you had Game 7 in 97. You had Game 7 in 2016. You had the game in 97. And then in 2016, the comeback that falls short, then everybody points to the rain delay and everything. So there's always something you can point back in those moments, and still your championship.
I'm pointing back
championship
to your bad relief pitching.
And LeBron showed up delay after his basketball game.
I would put Minnesota.
That's true.
So the Vikings, the
Twins. Oh, yeah, Vikings, definitely.
North Star/Wild.
Yeah. Yeah, because Twins was 91.
But you may have light at the end of the tunnel with the Timberwolves. Yeah.
There was this ridiculous stat that I heard last night on the Murray combo with Joker, Gobert, and basically it was Anthony Edwards on Murray, that any time, so this was a pick and roll with Joker and Murray, that any time they were defending, that they were averaging, just that two combo there, that Minnesota was averaging 2.3 points per incident of pick and roll with those two right there, and getting Joker active out there on how beneficial that was. Like that, because what would you consider? Isn't 1.8 points per possession is actually considered pretty damn good? You're getting 2.3 points per incident on pick and roll by getting Joker as the guy going defending the screener. That was 2.3 points.
Might be some adjustments
per incident.
Tonight.
Yeah, like,
no, as long as the Timberwolves continue to make Joker just a score, Denver's got problems. But I think the barometer for Denver is Jamal Murray, and if he's only at 75 to 80%, then they might be in trouble. He's more the barometer to me of the Nuggets and where they're going than one of the best players in the world. But they made him a score. They also are built to handle him because he doesn't have Michael Porter Jr. and Gordon are not equals to what Gobert and Cat can do. So there's going to be an adjustment. I think tonight's a banger night of ball in the association because you got game one of the Knicks and the Pacers and then game two of that series.
Wendy brought this up, that if you're looking at the game two, where I think most people assume Denver's going to be able to even up the series. But it's not the way if they do that. If they blow them out, it's series on. This thing is going to be amazing. But even if they win that game,
they have to scratch and claw.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you're wondering, damn, are they in serious trouble right now? Because you drop one at home, and you know this happens. Denver against LA was kind of playing around with them a little bit. They would turn it on in the third because we remember how many times LA had a lead. That was a pretty good point about you do that with Minnesota.
It'll be a short series.
You put yourself in a position.
So Denver, even with the Lakers series in game one of this series, their starters get off to a slow start.
Mm-hmm. They're down 18-4.
I mean, what they trailed, they've trailed a
couple games against
five
LA?
Of the six games they played. Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, they trailed at halftime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So their starters have gotten off to a slow start, but they're still the world champions. They just haven't looked like it, I think, in the five games that they played in the postseason. And on the other side, the T-Wolves are 5-0. To me, the T-Wolves and the Knicks are of a different vibe. Just the chemistry, just the way they are winning games.
You're getting me excited. I would sign up for that kind of
It's going to be a great game tonight. I mean, I hope the series goes seven. I still think the Nuggets win, but they got punched in the mouth for the first time in a while. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how they adjust tonight. I would throw another tortured fan base.
Yeah.
Would you throw the Raiders in there?
Yeah. That's a good call.
The Raiders really haven't been relevant in our lifetime.
No. Would the closest, would that have been the Tuck?
No, I mean, they were in the Super Bowl.
Right, but as what they had going during that time.
They could have won.
They were.
That stretch was regular postseason. Gruden to Callahan was 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you had a little window there. Since then, it's been essentially futility. And then you get the move.
Yeah, January of 84.
You're in a division with Mahomes, just like the Chargers.
That's true.
The Charger fan base is one of the more tortured fan bases. They lose their team in San Diego. Mm-hmm. They have so many hopes and dreams of winning a Super Bowl, and they've come up short. And then they're like always the trendy pick.
Yeah.
But they can never win a Super Bowl.
See, and that's part of
it. Now they don't even have their team.
That's a good point about tortured fan bases is when you get hyped up of, hey, this is your window or this is your year, or you now have a path that the way you've drafted, the way you've put together a roster looks good. And then all of a sudden you have other teams within that division, especially with what the Chiefs have done, that adds another element to it of even when you maybe put together your best roster, there are two other teams that all of a sudden put together a better roster and... So then it's all that work for nothing. Yeah, that's a good point about the element of tortured fan base. It's not just losing close games or heartbreakers. It's when you feel like you have your best team and you can't get above your division.
I think if you listen closely to one of Taylor Swift's songs on her new Tortured Poets album.
She's talking trash about the Chargers.
Talking about the most tortured fan bases.
She's putting the Chargers in there.
Mitch Marner must go. All right. Break time. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.